collect a pure. Bless the Lord who forgiveth all of our sins. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, that is Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The Word of God, Genesis 12, 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but when there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only the adherents of the law, but also those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence things that do not exist. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Amen, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Amen, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Amen, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not even receive the testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have life eternal. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, here we are in the second week of Lent. Some of you may have decided to do a little fasting, maybe give up something for the Lenten season. Maybe some of you decided to take on some new ministry. Maybe some of you decided to spend some regular time reflecting on your life, your spiritual life, and your relationship with God. Maybe some of you are doing all those things. Are you being successful? Well, I have to admit, I'm not doing so good myself. Some years I do a pretty good job, but this year I've broken a few promises. But what I do know about God is that when we break promises, if we have some regret and remorse and we ask for forgiveness and we choose to take an action step of maybe starting over or starting on a new path, we are forgiven. And that's repentance. And Robert is leading us in a series of repentance studies during the Lenten season. And I wasn't here last week for the introduction of that. But I'm sure he spent a few minutes talking about the true meaning of repentance, but I'm going to spend a few minutes on it myself. Repentance, if you look up at the meaning in the dictionary, says extreme regret or remorse. But from our Christian and Judeo point of view, it's really more than that. If you look at the Hebrew word in the Old Testament that's translated in repentance, it means literally return. And the idea is that if you were a Jew in the Old Testament times and you were starting to go down a path that wasn't following the law and you had regret and remorse and you repented and felt sorry, you also take an action item and you return to the path of the law. In the New Testament, it's written in Greek. The Greek word that's translated into repentance literally means change of mind. It's the same idea. If you're going down a path or you've maybe broken some promises, and you have regret and remorse, and you ask for forgiveness, you have a change of mind to go down a new path. Sometimes, God asks us to go down a new path, to start anew, to start over, even when we are not having to change from some broken promise. Maybe we've been doing something really that's God's ministry. We're very comfortable with it. We like it. And then God says, you've done a great job at that, but I'd like you to start working on this instead. And you might have a little resistance to that because you're comfortable where you're at. You might not want to start doing something different. It's a new learning curve. But it takes some trust in God, despite maybe some short-term risk, that there's a good ending. And that's where Abram was today in our Old Testament reading in Genesis. We're just in the chapter 12 of Genesis. We're still very early in the Bible. And we know very little bit about Abram. And to be clear, Abram is the same person that's later whose name is changed to Abraham. But God hadn't changed his name yet. Our first introduction to Abram was just a few verses right before what we read today. And all we know is that he lived with his father. He had two brothers. One brother had died. that brother who died had a son of Lot, and they lived in the land of Ur. Then, boom, we start the next chapter, and God says, Abram, I want you to move to a new country. I want you to take your family and your possessions, and I'm going to bless you in new country. And Abram goes, okay. I don't think I would have that kind of level of trust. Especially if you learn that he's 75 years old. If I was 75 years old and God asked me to do something like that, I said, you're kidding, right? You're playing a joke on me? Things are pretty good. I like where I'm at. And Abram was not poor. He had possessions. He had land. We don't know how rich he was, but he wasn't poor. He probably had a very comfortable life. So I probably would have resisted a little bit. Maybe Abram did, but they don't say so in the Bible. He says, okay. So he heads out, and to reduce about the next 8 or 9 chapters in about 1 minute, Abram does some things that aren't so good. So he's not perfect. He sounds like he's perfect because he trusts God 100%. He says okay when God says to do something, but he makes mistakes just like the rest of us. But God bails him out a couple times. But any time that God says something, and in particular, one time when God says, look up at the stars, how many you can count there is how many descendants you will have. And God said, Abram said, I believe you. And God reckoned it to him as righteousness. And that word believe there actually has a connotation of trust. Not that Abram just believed in God, but he trusted in God. That's what Paul was referring to in our epistle reading today in his letter to Romans. He talked about Abraham being justified by his trust in God, not by his works. And that is how we are justified. In our New Testament reading today, in our gospel reading, we have a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And we know the Pharisees and Jesus don't get along very well. And maybe we're a little hard on the Pharisees for their legalistic attitude, but they were very important to the order of society. They had a lot to do with maintaining the unity and community of the Jews, especially under Roman rule. But they were inflexible, and they never backed down at all. And Jesus was trying to make the point with them that there are times that it's okay to break the law. And Nicodemus comes to see Jesus at night. We assume maybe because he's doing it in secrecy, because he didn't want the other Pharisees to see him, or maybe he didn't want other people to see a Pharisee engaging in Jesus. Maybe he was just busy that day. It was the first chance he could go see him. We don't know. But Nicodemus starts buttering Jesus up a little bit and says, we know, he uses the word we, so you might be representing all the Pharisees. We know that you must be a man of God for to be able to do the things that you do. And why is Nicodemus doing that? Is he going to follow up with a question? Is he going to follow up with a trick question? Is he going to follow with a but? And you know what I mean by that. Like if you have something that you want to say to somebody that's uncomfortable, you might go to them and say something nice and then come back and say, but, you know, like say you have something with me that you want to say to me. You might say, Gaines, you've done a great job being treasurer and I appreciate your good work with the numbers, and you puff up my ego and my head swell, and then you go, but I don't like when you do such and such. We don't know what Nicodemus is going to go at this point, because Jesus hijacks the conversation and takes it over completely. And he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, this is written in Greek, even though Jesus spoke in Aramaic at the time, but in the Greek, there's a literary trick here that the word from above can also mean again. And so Nicodemus is confused. All right, is Jesus saying from above, or is he saying again? Neither of those make any sense. What's he talking about? And Nicodemus goes, how can we be born again? Can we go back in our mother's womb and be born again? And obviously Nicodemus is thinking of physical rebirth And Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth. And this is a literary trick that's used throughout all the Gospel of John, where Jesus says something, the person he's talking to misunderstands it, and then Jesus comes back and says something to correct or to clarify the situation. So Jesus comes back and says, "Very, very truly, I tell you." And when Jesus uses those words, he's being serious. It's a truth from God. We used to read that in the King James Version as, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The literal translation is, "Amen, amen." So when you see that, God, Jesus is serious. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born above, born with water and spirit." This phrase here in this gospel reading is what captured my imagination when I was thinking about my sermon topic today. Not that it's the most important line in this gospel reading. It's full of a ton of stuff that we wouldn't be able to come near covering in a 10 to 15 minute sermon. But the thing, reason why this grabbed my attention was, one, what is the kingdom of God? And do I want to enter it? Sounds like something I would want to do, but also sounds pretty scary. And how do you become born of water and spirit? I believe the kingdom of God exists right now, and we have trouble seeing it. And the reason we have trouble seeing it is because of barriers that we put between us and God. Our egos and our selfishness keeps us from seeing the kingdom of God. So what do we do? How do we reduce those barriers? And Jesus says, be born of water and spirit. How do we do that? One thing comes to mind is baptism, but I think more importantly is something that we have to do over and over and over again, and that is through prayer, and that is reflecting on our lives and reflecting on our communication with God and our connection with God, which is what our Lenten season asks us to do. This is probably something we should do all the time, but we have this Lenten season that we're asked to do this. Maybe to take something on, maybe to fast over something, to give something up, to reflect more on where we are with God. And I think that as we work on those things, when we start reflecting our lives, sometimes we can get stuck on our shortcomings too much and get stuck on the things of our broken promises. And yes, we should be aware of those things and we should repent of those things, but then we need to let them go because God lets them go. And then work on the things of how to hear God's call for us and what God is calling us to do. What new path may God be calling us? Or what path do we need to start over again because of a broken promise? And through these spiritual techniques we may be using of reflection and prayer and quiet time and trying to empty ourselves and reduce our ego and reduce our selfishness, to reduce these prayers, our spirituality will grow. Our faith in God will grow. And hopefully, and most importantly for me, and hopefully for you as well, is that our trust in God will grow. Amen. Amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed found on page 5. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and everlasting God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Brian, our bishop of East Tennessee, and Robert, our priest, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and living word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness, in righteousness, all the days of their life. We beseech thee also to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially our Donald, our president, and Bill and Brian, our governors, that they may be led to wise decisions in right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor J.R., John and Joan, Marie, Jimmy, Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, June, Michael, Pat, Alberta, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Joycey, Martha, Shane, Judy, Hannah, Terry, Cameron, Daniel, Carol, Rosemary, Al, Jen, Jean, Jennifer, Dawn School, Hillcrest School, the Community Food Pantry at St. Thaddeus. And all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity.
Especially pray for those who are adversely affected by the tornadoes in the middle part of the state this week.
And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of Saint Thaddeus and of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant us these prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left done, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy ways. To the glory of thy name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Friends, in this season of Lent, I'm going to invite you into a practice around our peace. We'll talk a little bit more about the flu and COVID-19 that is going around, but I'm going to invite you to stay in your pews for the peace, and Gretchen here and I are going to demonstrate maybe a peace that you can do that's elbow to elbow there, or a wave. And the way that I'm going to peace you is I'm going to come around with this little sanitizer and squirt a little bit in your hand here. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. God's peace. Peace. Okay. Peace. Peace, anybody? Oh, God's peace. God's peace to you. God's peace. God's peace. 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 Oh, he's got some over there. Okay. Peace. So it turns out hand sanitizer is like oil or gold now. It's trading for like 500% on the market there. That's peace. 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 Peace on you. Peace. Peace. Peace, Marcy. God, peace. Peace to you. Peace. Peace. Okay. Holy Lent to you. I invite you to be seated. So, let me start out by saying that I understand that there's a lot of information and misinformation and all kinds of things floating around there about COVID-19 or the coronavirus and maybe some undue fear, maybe some worthwhile fear. What I want to say is the only agenda that I have is keeping us safe. And so to that end, I talked to a couple of medical professionals we have here at St. Thaddeus. Both Courtney and Christian and I had conversations this week, and they were extremely helpful. So what I want to do is if I err, I want to err and be sorry instead of not be safe and be sorry, right? Does that make sense? So I want to be safe and sorry instead of not safe and sorry. So here's what we're doing at St. Thaddeus and St. Albans. For the passing of the peace, you just saw how we're... I ask that we do that through the Lenten season. Because when the weather warms up in Easter, I think we can reassess. But I think we'll be in a better place by then. But in terms of communion, let me just talk about this. So there have been tons of studies done around common cup and communion. And communion is safe when done properly. The cup is safe when done properly in terms of contamination. So we have switched back to silver from pottery and lint. We're using silver and lint, and that helps sanitize the liquid there. And the alcohol in the wine helps too. What doesn't help is when you take your finger and dip the bread down into the cup, which is called intinction, and it's a perfectly fine practice, but I'm going to dissuade or invite you not to do that in this season. So if you feel like you shouldn't drink from the cup, that's perfectly fine. Receiving the bread only has been, for thousands of years, the church has said, you can receive in one kind and it's full and complete communion. And so if you don't want to drink from the cup, just cross your arms and the chalice bearer will walk right past you. And I talked to the chalice bearers before the service today, and we went over the proper procedure of wipe and turn and how that works. So we're working to keep folks safe. In addition, Kathleen and Jane and I will be working on just doing a little bit of sanitizing of some of the surfaces in the sanctuary every week. We're committed to doing that every week. And then the final thing that we're doing is Courtney and Christian and I in the library after this service. So you can go and grab some snacks. And we're going to repent from repentance this week. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to show you a video that's, I think, really helpful and a lot of good information in it, that it's not like sensationalized and it's not, you know, it's kind of middle down the road, good information. And then Christian and Courtney are going to sort of do a Q&A about just the coronavirus and keeping ourselves safe in the season. And they're going to talk a little bit about flu, too. Is that right, Courtney? Yeah, okay. So that's going to be, get yourself a snack, meet us in the library for that, and then we'll pick up repentance against next week. So we'll repent shortly from repentance, and then we'll pick it back up. All right, so enough about the coronavirus. It is the season of Lent. It's a time for deep reflection, and thank you, Gaines, for that reminder. There will be some opportunities for worshipful reflection before we move into Easter during Holy Week, and that's the first full week of April. It's also known as Crunch Week for Casey and me, but for all of us, it's Holy Week, and we'll spend some time that week doing a series of worship opportunities that I think if you looked at your schedule and looked at your time, you could choose some of those experiences to help you move spiritually and prepare yourself for that celebration on Easter. So I encourage you to do that. Also, we will deck this place out with Easter lilies. I mean, deck it out. And so to do that, we need to sign up for Easter lilies, which are on the sign-up sheet, which is posted to the door in the flower room. The door of the flower room. I'm looking at Hilda and they're $10 a piece. $10 a piece, yeah. And you can write a little memorial there. We ask that you write legibly so that Kathleen and I can represent that in the Easter bulletin. Any other announcements that we need to do today? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Spirit.
praise God. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin. It's right one, and so the language is a little bit different than you're used to. The Lord be with you.
And with us too.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
very meet, right, and our bound in duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who dost bid thy people faithfully cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that fervent in prayer and in works of mercy and renewed by thy word and sacraments, they may come to the fullness of grace which thou hast prepared for those who love thee. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, glory be to thee, O Lord our God, for that thou didst create heaven and earth, and didst make us in thine own image, and of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. He made there a full and perfect sacrifice for the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to thee, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, we, thy people, do celebrate and make with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again with power and great glory. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and with thy word and Holy Spirit to bless and sanctify these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be unto us the body and blood of thy dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, whereby we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies. Grant, we beseech thee, that all who partake of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And also that we and all thy whole church may be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lamb of God,
so he took the plate. Praying together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Hold this up real high. The gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members and corporate in the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. In Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and in the love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this Sunday in Lent and remain with you always. Now let us go forth in the name of Christ.